As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line, plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
He's homered! Derek Jeter homers to tie the game. And there it is, hit number 3,000.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Life and 402. McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. That's the number to call. And we'll be taking your calls for the next hour until the warm-up show at 5 a.m. We got Fleegs on the other side. And we've been talking mainly about the Knicks as they lose game 2, 100-94. It is now a series. I expect it to be a hard-fought series. I expect it to be a long series because the Pistons aren't afraid of this Knicks team. And the Pistons leave game 2. Really, both games went exactly how they wanted it, other than a 5-minute stretch where they got outscored 21-0. Other than that 21-0 run in the fourth quarter of game 1, the Pistons have had the better of the play almost the entire series. The Knicks never led in game 2. They did tie it up late after another, you know, run very similar. It's amazing how similar the games actually were and how they were played. Early on, troubleshooting. You know, couldn't hit a shot. Really, neither team shot well from three-point land, but both teams, and the Knicks in particular, not shooting well. Physical brand of basketball. You heard there the coach complaining about foul shots, which to me is kind of ridiculous, to be totally honest with you. The Pistons were the more aggressive team. The Pistons got to the basket more. The Pistons were out-rebounding the Knicks. The Pistons out-hustled the Knicks. They were better for loose balls. They were better on rebounds. They were better at everything. They got to the basket more. They deserved to go to the free throw line more. Now, was it a tremendous differential? Sure. But that's not why they lost the game. And let's be fair, too, as the Knicks were making that run, as they were down as much as 15 points in this game and making the run back to tie the game up in the fourth quarter, all their points were off the free throw line. Brunson was getting guys in the air and getting cheap fouls and getting to the foul line. They were in the, you know, a loose ball foul on Hart led to foul shots. OG Anunoby got some cheap foul shots. Like, that's how they made their comeback. They didn't hit shots all night, including the run that got them back into the game. And for me, my main problem with the game is, right, we could talk about Cunningham exploding for 33 points and playing well, and some of the issues defensively, and like I just talked about, the physical nature of the game and not getting to the foul line. Here's the main issue with this loss last night. One, the rebounding I just mentioned. You can't get out rebound 48-34 against this Pistons team. It can't happen. And two, where the hell is Karl Anthony Towns? And for me, yeah, I blame Karl Anthony Towns for it, as Karl Anthony Towns in this game too, a game that they lose. a game that they only gave up 100 points defensively, and a game that they only scored 94. And I forgot to go double check, but I'm pretty sure Bill Pito said on the post game that it's the lowest point total the Knicks have scored all year. In that kind of game, Karl-Anthony Towns can't score 10 points, take 3 shots in the second half, and 0 in the fourth quarter. Right? And I'm sorry. I know the MO he has, and I understand he's called soft, and I understand he's disappeared in some of the biggest games of the year, the games against the Celtics, the games against Cleveland. He did not have his best games. And that's something that's going to carry with him, and that's something he's going to have to change. But I put it on the coach. Plain and simple, this is the guy that this team, and you can't tell me he's not a part of the decision-making. Tibbs and Leon Rose went out there and brought this guy in after years of debate on who's going to be the superstar, who they make these picks, trade these picks for, and obviously they trade picks for Mikal Bridges as well, but who's the superstar that they're going to bring in? Who's going to be that move? They made the move, Karl-Anthony Towns, for better or for worse. As many concerns as we may have had about it at the moment, you know, the MO of being soft, all the different stuff, what's gone on in his career in Minnesota, all of it. This is the guy they chose. And while they are losing by 15 points, while they are getting beat in the fourth quarter, this guy is nowhere to be found. He's on the bench for, I think, 6 minutes in the third quarter, and then he takes 0 shots in the fourth. I'm sorry, but Tibbs has got to force him the ball. There's got to be more offense than just Jalen Brunson playing hero ball. That's my main concern. There is no offensive game plan whatsoever. This was watching a game in 2013 with Carmelo Anthony. That's what it was. And we've seen it before, and last year it felt more excusable because they were so beaten up. Like, this team is far more talented. I know we're always going to compare this team with last year's team. We're always going to compare the toughness, especially against this Pistons team. We're always going to compare the camaraderie. We're going to compare the chemistry the team had. We're going to always compare it because we fell in love with it last year, and we never got to see it actually play out because of the injuries, because of the way things went down. We'll never know what that team was capable of. It got broken. It was injured last year, and then it got broken up for this version. And this version's more talented. And Karl-Anthony Towns is the reason for that. And yes, Bridges, too, who's awful and missed open shots down the stretch of this game and in the fourth quarter, and including the big one on the final possession with a chance to tie the game down 3, or the second to final possession, the final possession that really mattered, with a good look at the top of the key, and he comes up short. And he had good looks this entire game, 3 for 11 from 3, 8 of 18 from the floor, 0 foul shots yet again for Bridges. But for me, Karl-Anthony Towns played 33 minutes in this game. 33 minutes. And you saw in parts of game 1 him make really difficult shots, right? Even early on in this game, he scored all 10 points in the first half. The Pistons were without Isaiah Stewart, dealing with knee soreness, who is probably the most tough defender. There has got to be a way, instead of just having Jalen Brunson dribble around and hoping to create either a shot for himself or an open three-point look for OG Anunoby or Mikal Bridges, there has to be a way to get Karl-Anthony Towns more involved, and it's up to the coach to do it. We can blame Karl-Anthony Towns all we want, and I'm not absolving him from blame, but the coach has to recognize that this is my star player along with Jalen Brunson, and I've got to get him more involved in the damn game. I can't go through an entire fourth quarter and then without him taking a shot, and then in the post game, he's acting, well, you know, they're double-teaming him with the ball. I don't want him shooting over 2 or 3 players. That is such nonsense. He needs to be force-fed the ball. They have to run the offense through someone else than Jalen Brunson at some point in the game. There was no adjustment. Yeah, they were step slow on offense. Yeah, they didn't get to loose balls. Yes, they got out-rebounded. Yes, they didn't hit their threes, their open looks. And they could have, right? And Cunningham in a good game. But Schroeder hits the killer 3 after the Knicks made that run. And for me, that's the difference in this, right? And I talked about it yesterday, that we were going to find out who the Pistons are. Because the Pistons right now are leaving Madison Square Garden, heading for home, telling themselves they should be up 2-0. And they're not wrong. The Knicks have not played well. The Pistons have dictated other than the 5 minutes and the 21 to nothing run in the fourth quarter of game one, the Pistons have dictated the play every other minute of both of these games. Every other minute of both of these games, the Pistons have dictated the game. So the Pistons are feeling pretty damn good about themselves. And the Knicks haven't played well at all. But I'm watching the game, and like for me, as we said going in, like it was going to be a matter of who the Pistons were. Because despite controlling the game, once it started rolling in the wrong direction for them in game one in the fourth quarter, they folded. And I told you yesterday there was going to be another run like that. I didn't know it was going to look almost very similar, where it would be late in the fourth quarter. But there was going to be a run, and it was going to be how the Pistons respond. And for a while, you thought it was going to go the same way. The Knicks tied up. Knicks are going to win this game. And instead, Schroeder comes through with the big shot, and that's the difference in the game. And for all their struggles and for all the issues I have with how they played the game offensively, I do think if Schroeder misses that shot, they probably win the game. That the game does come down to that three-point shot. If he hits it, they win. If he misses it, the Knicks win. And unfortunately for the Knicks, it went in. But like for me, there's a couple of telltale signs, and it's certainly not about the free throws and the way the game was refereed. I'm sorry. That response from Tibbs kind of annoys me because it's not nearly the story of this game. You look at the rebounding as they're out-rebounded badly in this game, 48-34. You look at the bench points, which is 35-8. And after having a very impactful game one, Cameron Payne only plays 4 minutes and doesn't even attempt a shot. He comes in, he gets into foul trouble early. That's, you know, he gets a silly offensive screen foul, which was a, you know, killer for him and his minutes. But to me, it's rebounds, it's bench points, and it's Karl-Anthony Towns, 0 shots in the fourth quarter. Those are the stats that are telling to me in this game. And I don't think it's the physical nature that the Pistons are playing excellent defense. Don't get me wrong, they are. But I don't think they're being out-physicaled. I don't think the Knicks are, you know, shying away from anything. I don't think this team isn't tough enough to win this series or, you know, to play this style of basketball. The Pistons are better at it. But to me, this is about a coach not making any offensive adjustments. Because I'm watching Clyde call the game, right? I'm watching the MSG version. It was also on TNT. And I'm watching TNT at the half, and Shaq and Barkley are breaking down Karl-Anthony Towns and his play in the first half. And him backing down people and him, you know, getting to the basket. And then it disappears in the second half. And that, to me, is on the coach. That, to me, is on the coach. And I'm watching Jalen Brunson dribble around, and that's what I was saying about Clyde. How many times, if you're watching Clyde, how many times does Clyde say, too much dribbling. That's their offensive game plan. Their offensive game plan was give the ball to Jalen Brunson. Now, he's good enough to make it happen on most nights. Last night wasn't one of them, but they had Jalen Brunson last year. They changed this team and brought in another two different players to change how they played the game, so that it didn't have to be Jalen Brunson hero ball. It didn't have to be, all right, well, listen, hopefully Jalen can get to the basket, either create a shot for himself, or maybe he'll get a look to an open three. And yeah, they got to hit their shots, don't get me wrong. Down the stretch of this game, I thought Bridges did get some good looks that he missed. And clearly the one at the top of the key to tie the game was a great look, and he's got to hit some of these shots. But, I mean, right now there is no offensive continuity. There is no ball movement. There is no moving without the ball. There is no pick and rolls. There is nothing going on. They had no offensive game plan. None. And I'm still confident they can win this series, but now they go back to Detroit, tied 1-1. The Pistons, you know, it kind of works both ways. Maybe the Knicks are saying to themselves, we're tied and we haven't even played well yet, which they haven't. But the Pistons got to feel like they've gotten the better of this. And they should be up 2-0. And there is zero fear from the Detroit Pistons. And that's what's scary about it, because it looked like, and I said this yesterday, it was either going to be we were going to find out who the Pistons are and whether or not it's going to be a long series or a short series. Because if the Pistons showed up and that fourth quarter run in game two went the same way as it went in game one, then this series is over quickly. Because the Pistons feel like they can't win these games even when they play well and there's going to be a run and they're not ready for it. And instead, they were able to stop the bleeding, hit the big shot, win the game, come out of Madison Square Garden, tied 1-1 with the thought process of, hey, if we didn't shoot ourselves in the foot in the fourth quarter of game one, we're up 2-0 right now. And I still expect the Knicks to win. I still expect the Knicks to find a way to get better offensively. But, I mean, I'm telling you right now, Tibbs is going to be a conversation because there was nothing there. There was nothing there. All Tibbs did was complain about the referees after the game. He had no other impact in this game. Game one, I thought the rotations were good. He let Cameron Payne play as he was hitting threes. That run was off turnovers and misses, and it was much more about the Pistons than even the Knicks. But there were some things I could point to about how Tibbs coached the game. There was nothing in game two. He did absolutely nothing to help impact this game. Nothing. And to me, numero uno on the list of to-dos for game three is Karl Anthony Towns better be a part of the freaking offense. And especially down the stretch of this game. Now, I'm sure that Stewart, who took game two off for right knee inflammation, is going to be back for game number three. And you know how role players are typically better in their building. I mean, it's going to be harder now to get him to the basket and to have him post up and to get Karl Anthony Towns the ball. It's going to be more difficult. Last night was an opportunity without Stewart, and that's what's the most frustrating. Like, without Stewart in the game for Detroit, it felt like a good opportunity to get Karl Anthony Towns in there. It felt like a good opportunity to get Karl Anthony Towns the ball down low. And instead, he's non-existent. At least in game one, you got OG Anunoby scoring 15 points in the first half. You had him, kind of give you that offense that he was giving you while Brunson was injured. Like, there was nothing to this game. Offensively, there was nothing. And if they lose this series and they lose it with the game plan looking like this, I think the volume for Tibbs being out is going to be really loud from the fan base and even from NBA pundits. Because you can't lose this series one, and you can't lose it like this. You can't lose it without any sort of adjustments at all in the game. Forget the minutes, even forget the rotation. Some offensive game planning, something. You can't trade for Mikal Bridges. And you can't trade for Karl Anthony Towns. Bring them in here. Especially Towns. Be the other superstar of this team. A starting five of the Eastern Conference All-Star team. The guy you chose to be the superstar along with Brunson to get you past the Celtics, not the Pistons. And you can't be losing a game by 15, 13, 11 in the fourth quarter and not be able to get him involved. They've got to figure something out in game three. That's number. Karl Anthony Towns better put up 25 to 35 points in game three, bare minimum. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls. Kyle in West Orange. What's up, Kyle?
Hey, what's going on? And, my Yankees lost, and then my Knicks lost, so, it's
not a great
rough,
day for the Yankee Knicks fan, no.
No, not a great day, but I'll tell you what with these Knicks. Jermond Green said it best. We knew this about Cat. We knew how soft Cat can get. It's not about, these opportunities. Cat's got to play hard, and he does it. And this is why the other team has to step up. And all these, everybody's got to play hard. Everybody's got to score. When I watched the game earlier before I went to work, they had good shots. They had good looks. They were missing. The ball was just coming out of the rim. Just wasn't their day. And they almost could have won it. That's the thing. But the thing about it is that Cat's not that type of guy. And he's when it comes down to the wire like this, he does not show up. He should have 20-something points, 10 rebounds, 8 assists or something of that nature, and it doesn't happen. Yeah. And Bridges, I have not been impressed. I was impressed with Bridges in the beginning of the season, but now as he's playing more, I think he's tired. I think he's retired because he can't defend anybody at all. And this team is like that. There's no defense.
I listen to Chamberlain. I don't think that.
I listen to Chamberlain. They do not block it. They don't box out nobody. And I see it. Wilt says it all the time. He goes, where's the box out? They don't box out at all. And the team gets their own rebounds. They score. This is a scoring. Everybody's scoring now in the NBA. Old school's over with.
No, I understand. And they held the Pistons to 100 points. The Pistons didn't put up 120.
But the Pistons, right, but their Pistons are playing terrible, and so are the Knicks. Mm. So it's like, okay, whoever comes out on this one and makes the last shot can do it. And the Pistons are now right there.
Yeah, but I don't know if I agree with everything you said there. They've been a better rebounding team than what you're saying. Yeah, this game they didn't rebound very well, and that was part of the problem. They've been a better rebounding team than you said. And defensively, I didn't think they were terrible in this game. I thought they let Cunningham get to the basket too much. And since Brunson's injury, they've been which coincides with Mitchell Robinson coming back, they have been a better defensive team. And they gave up 100 points in last night's game. Now the Pistons shot 22% from three-point land. But, again, I know this is going to be the narrative that this is who Karl Anthony Towns is. I watched the game, all right? I didn't feel overly, like maybe some of it. And maybe I'm wrong here, maybe I'm putting too much on Tibbs. I'm open to that idea. But for me, I didn't see Karl Anthony Towns just be a timid basketball player. I saw him not involved. That's what I saw. I saw him not involved. And maybe that's one in the same. Again, but the game plan is to allow Brunson to do what he does. Like, what good is Karl Anthony? What good? Yeah, Gio just texted me. He did say Chamberlain, right? And then he said Wilt. He thought Clyde Frazier was Wilt Chamberlain. I was letting it go, and then when he said Chamberlain, I wasn't sure what he was talking about, and then he said Wilt, and I just knew he meant Clyde in my head that I didn't pick up on it. Wilt Chamberlain was complaining about the offensive rebounds from the Knicks last night. No, but like, I didn't see a timid player. I didn't see someone who didn't want to get involved. Early on, he did. I just saw someone who, that's not the game plan. The game plan is let Jalen Brunson be Jalen Brunson. And why clog up the middle? Because him getting to the middle, I don't want another defender there. Like you saw, there's no offensive movement. There's no movement without the ball. They are standing on the perimeter waiting for Jalen Brunson to do something. That was the offense in the fourth quarter. And luckily enough, they got to the foul line. And Jalen Brunson, with a couple of pump fakes, was able to get his defender in the air and get to the foul line. And they were over the limit, so you got loose ball fouls got you to the foul line. Like, that's how they scored all of their points in the fourth quarter. When they made that run, a couple of threes from Jalen Brunson, a couple of baskets, right? The nice pass to Hart under the basket for the layup, or the dunk that he thought he was fouled on. But for the most part, a lot of their scoring was done at the foul line. That's why I was surprised that Tibbs goes out there and the first complaint is about the discrepancy in the foul shot, which is accurate, I suppose, but getting to the foul line is what got you back in the game. And I didn't see a timid, it wasn't, I didn't see someone who was going to take over when that's Brunson's job. And it was working, right? They were getting back into the game, whether it was foul shots or whatever, they're getting back into the game. And I don't want to bring defenders to the middle because the game plan is to get Jalen Brunson to the middle and either get a shot there or be able to dish out to the perimeter. I want guys, crashing in to stop Jalen Brunson, which opens up three-point shots. That's the only offensive game plan, was drive and dish. Or get a shot off. Or, hit one of his floaters or, put his back to the basket and create with his feet to a turnaround jump shot. Now, to me, you got to draw up game plans to get Karl Anthony Towns the ball. Like, Karl Anthony Towns he's not going to bring the ball up and run the offense. They made no attempt, scheme-wise, to run the game and run the offense through him at all.
So I know he's not the kind of player who can do it on his own. And maybe he should have stood. Maybe he should have stood at the elbow with his hand up in the air and screaming, "Get me the ball." Maybe he should have. And maybe a more forceful player. And certainly that's his MO. I understand what's gone on in Minnesota before. But to me, it's on the coach. Make it happen. Draw it up. Call a timeout and focus on it. Like, what we saw was the same. Not to get on Brunson, because I didn't think he played all that well. I thought he made some poor decisions. He missed some key shots. I mean, he was the offense in the fourth quarter. It's tough to get on him necessarily. But I'm just saying, if this was 2013, right? And especially, I Boomer is a big fan of Carmelo Anthony. I'm just saying, if this were 2013, we would be screaming about how Melo is playing Melo ball. That, it's isolation basketball. He doesn't pass. There's no movement to the offense. It's nothing but Carmelo Anthony. That's what we saw in the fourth quarter of this game last night. That's what we saw pretty much in the entire second half. There is no offensive movement. And I understand Bridges traded all those picks for him. You expect him to hit that shot, be more involved in the offense. I want that too, but you need Carl Anthony Towns to take a shot in the fourth quarter. You need him to be more involved. And if it's not going to happen naturally on the basketball court, the coach has to make sure it happens. I'm not absolving Cat for his share of blame in this. And he's got to be more aggressive. I totally agree. But at some point, the coach has got to come up with a plan. There's got to be another offensive game plan than just let Jalen Brunson cook, for lack of a better term. Like, that's what it was. And it was frustrating to watch. Let's take Jesse real quick. What's up, Jesse?
Hey, Chris. What's up? How's everything?
Good. How are you, man?
I'm okay. I'm just tired of Tibbs. We're seeing the same thing, the coaching stuff over and over the whole season. And, it's pretty obvious, what the problem is. And maybe it's better the Knicks flame out in the first round so they can, see where the problem is. And, because this is just awful. I mean, Scott Perry was talking about the Knicks and all that stuff too. And he was mentioning their defense is not the same and all that. Mm-hmm. And I think that was a major that was a bad decision. I think there's some political stuff going on in the front office to let Perry go, because Perry was really a good executive for them. And I don't think Perry's the one that did that Mikal Bridges trade. So that's a bomb. That's a total bomb, that Bridges trade.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. I'm not. It's still early on. It's only been a year, but it's just first round picks that aren't, hopefully aren't going to be, lottery picks. Right now, it's a bomb of a trade, but forget that. It's just about his production on the floor right now. Forget the trade and whether it was worth it or not. We don't have to focus on that at the moment. And, let's be honest, Leon Rose has transformed the team. Perry was here, and they were terrible. Right, I mean, they were terrible for a long time with every executive they've had. I mean, Leon Rose has turned this team. I mean, I know we're saying it's horrible. You're longing for the days of Perry while they're playing they're the third seed in the Eastern Conference, and we're frustrated with a 1-1 series. And you're longing for the days of the other executives who didn't make bad trades. Like, okay, what exactly did they do? They didn't win. They didn't get into this position. We would have killed to be in this possession during the Scott Perry era. We would have been thrilled. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't be frustrated in the moment at certain things. But to me, defensively, yeah. And that's part of it, too. I've said this a lot about Tibbs, right? To me, the issue I've had with Tibbs all year, and we talk about the minutes and the stuff that will always follow him, right? And obviously even Bridges came out and spoke about it. So even the team feels this way in some way, at least one player on the team, I'm sure more than that. But even forgetting the minutes or whatever, it's just the mentality of the team. When I think of Tibbs and I think of a Tibbs type team, I think gritty and I think defense. And whether it's the talent on the team and the kind of team it is fundamentally, or that he just couldn't get that message across, or whatever the case may be. This team is not that. I don't get the vibes of a classic Thibodeau team watching this Knick team play. They're not overall good defensively, although they've gotten better with Mitch Robinson. And they're certainly not tough, and even that hasn't been the issue here. I don't think they've been out-toughed. Like, yes, we knew the physical nature of this team and what the series was going to be, and it's been that. And the referees have let it play. That's a storyline here in this series, is how physical they've allowed this game to be played. Right? It's been slightly inconsistent. You know, Breen and Will Chamberlain were talking about it on the broadcast last night, about how inconsistent the foul calls seem to be at times. And I understand Tibbs had an issue with it in the postgame, which I thought was soft. But I still don't think that's the reason they lost. I don't think they lost because they can't handle the physicality of the Detroit Pistons. I really don't. And again, I still expect them to win this series. I'm just frustrated that there's nowhere else to go. It felt like this isn't working. And despite the amount of talent, and we can say it, and we do, yeah, I know they're not as gritty, I know they're not as tough, but this team's more talented. And yet, with the more talent, there's nowhere else to go other than the hero ball of Jalen Brunson. There's nowhere else to go. They were just going to play that way, win or lose. There was nowhere else to go. There was no other way to play the game. They never attempted to run the game through Karl-Anthony Towns. They never did anything else. They said, here's the ball, Jalen. Go figure it out. And it didn't work. And if he's going to play, last year he had to drop 50 to win games doing that. And if he drops 50, it'll be enough. If he hits enough shots and he scores 53 points, then yeah, that might probably be enough to win the game. It's not going to do it against the Boston Celtics. It might do it against the Pistons. But I'm frustrated because I believe in Karl-Anthony Towns. And Karl-Anthony Towns, for a long time at the start of the year, I thought was playing, you know, MVP-type basketball. And I know he hasn't for a while. And I understand that it's Brunson time at the end of these games, and I wouldn't have it any other way. But at some point, they brought this guy in here to be the difference maker, and they're not utilizing him. And we can blame him, and he's got the MO to do it. And maybe he should be more forceful, and he should be more that guy. But if he's not going to do it on his own, it's up to the coach to make sure it happens. And I just felt like there was no game plan adjustment whatsoever from Tibbs. 888-808-1019. And having said that, if Schroeder misses the three, I think they win the game. So it doesn't take a lot. But the Pistons have had the better of the play in the first two games of this series. For 85% of this series, the Pistons have been the better team. And I did not expect that. And it's frustrating. And I'm disappointed in the coach. I'm disappointed in the players. I'm disappointed in Karl-Anthony Towns. I'm disappointed in Bridges. I'm disappointed in pretty much everyone associated with the Knicks through the first two games. And having said that, I fully expect them to come out and play better in Detroit.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy!
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1.
Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Sets up high, stares at Lindor, the payoff pitch. Bientos hits it high in the air to left field. It's got legs. It's deep. It's back near the wall. It is gone! Mark Bientos has added yet another chapter to what is becoming a ridiculous postseason for the New York Mets. He's tied the game.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 4:39, Nick Monaco here with you on The Fan. Off a Knicks loss as we get ready for Game 3 on Thursday night, which sucks. They can't play Wednesday, got to need two nights off to travel to Detroit. Go up against the NFL draft. Great. I can just see it now. Giants don't take a quarterback and the Knicks lose Game 3. Perfect night. Perfect night. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls, though. Ben in Princeton. What's up, Ben?
Hey, good morning, Chris. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great. How are you?
All right. Good. Listen, it's been a minute since we talked, but I'm going to just say this. I disagree with two things on your take.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, about Cat. I get it. You like Cat. But we're not going to win a championship with Cat as a big man playing the way he is. The reason why I say that, you can't expect Tibbs and hold Tibbs accountable for saying to make an adjustment when Cat is standing 30 feet from the basket instead of being more aggressive and going down on the box and say, Brunson, give me the ball.
Yeah, but if that's not the game plan, if the game plan is to allow Brunson to get to the rim and create, all you're doing is bringing another defender there.
I understand that, but let's be honest. This is the NBA. You could throw the game plan out the window because you know these players run the league. When they could be a game plan at the start of the game, and when the game is in session, they're going to do what they want to do. The star players,
I guess.
Run
yeah,
the
but
league.
Brunson's the star player. Brunson's the captain. Brunson's the leader. Brunson's the guy who everything runs through. Like I'm just saying. Like Karl Anthony Towns, he can't like say, listen, I don't care what you want to do, Brunson. I'm standing here. Give me the damn ball.
Maybe he should. We'll see. I think the coach has to help in that situation. I think the coach has to be part of that discussion, saying, listen, we need to get Cat involved. I'm not absolving him. You've got a point. I'm not saying you're completely wrong. He's got to be more aggressive. But I think if that's not going to happen organically, the coach has to make it happen.
Okay. I accept that take somewhat.
Okay.
Can that play out? Can that play out for a whole game? That being said, I'm going to just touch on my other point because I know you got other callers.
Mm-hmm.
The free throw disparity.
Yeah.
How come is it every time in our building, right? And this is in reference to the league.
Yeah.
Every time in our building, for almost the 50 years I'm watching NBA basketball, home court advantage meant that you got the benefit of the whistle.
Yeah.
I didn't say that you have to win every whistle, but you got the benefit of the whistle. At one point in this game, the Knicks were minus 20 in free throw shots.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, Detroit took 20 more free throw attempts.
They ended up with 15. They ended up with 15 more.
Exactly. And that's my point.
Yeah.
That is impossible. And the reason why I mentioned the league, do you think all the narratives coming in, Kay Cunningham, the up-and-coming superstar, Madison Square Garden, the so-called Mecca, the bright lights of Broadway, they want to turn around and start to build this guy's percento more than what it is? I mean, I
don't know how you could feel. I mean, listen, I understand Cunningham might be becoming a burgeoning star, but it's the Knicks. I mean, you think they want the Celtics to win this series? Celtics, I'm sorry. You think they want the Pistons to win the series? You think they want Detroit in the next round? You think they want the big matchup of, Boston and Detroit? Or Boston and Cleveland? Like, they don't. They want the Knicks to win this series. I don't think they're dictating how the referees referee the game, no matter what they want. But I don't think they're trying to do anything other than, look, the Pistons, to me, were the more aggressive team. They got to the basket more. Now, it's a big disparity, and last year, certainly, we had the conversation about how Brunson himself is officiated. And they've let stuff go in this series. There is no doubt. They've allowed this series to be far more physical than any series I can remember in recent times. They said it on the broadcast, too. Clyde and Breen were talking about it, that it seems like is as physical a brand of basketball as we've seen played in the last 5 or 6 years, easy. So it's been a physical series. They've gotten to the basket more, you have to be fair, like they just have. As it played out in the game, right, I didn't get the sense of, oh my God, they're calling everything for the Pistons, they're calling nothing for the Knicks. I didn't get that sense watching the game. Now, can you just look at the disparity afterwards and say that seems a bit ridiculous? Yes. For the Knicks, the way Brunson gets officiated and calls lack thereof, no doubt about it. That seems like an outrageous number. And to ever be 20 points or 20 free throws behind in a home game seems unusual. But the two things that jump out at me is, one, my gut feeling watching the game, I never felt as if the Knicks deserved more calls and that the Pistons were getting unfair calls. And then for me, the biggest reason why I don't want to complain about foul shots is that's how they got back into the game. They got back into the game getting to the foul line. So when it was good for them, when it was working for them, when they had no other offensive game plan but to get to the foul line, they found a way. So those are the two reasons why I find it a bit soft to come out and make that a major complaint about how this game was played. Ultimately, you battled back and you had a tie game and they hit the shot and you didn't. And you had no real offensive game plan other than Jalen Brunson. And sure, looking back at it now, the disparity seems bad. I think the disparity in rebounds is far more telling than the disparity in free throws. And that has nothing to do with officiating. That's all effort. And that tells me they out-rebounded, they out-hustled, they out-attacked, and they got more foul shots. I never got a sense watching the game that, holy cow, man, they are getting every call and the Knicks are getting none. Never felt that way. And then in the fourth quarter, that's what dragged them back into the game. was getting to the foul line. The Pistons were over the limit, and loose ball fouls were turning to free throws. That's how they got back into the game. And Jalen Brunson, with a couple of pump fakes, got his defender in the air and created five foul shots out of thin air. So I have a real tough time complaining about that when that's the tool they use to get back into the game. Brett in Long Island, what's up, Brett?
You're starting to repeat yourself. Let me get a chance here.
Mm-hmm.
Chris, I missed you, man. These filling guys can't hold your tiny little jock, that's for sure.
Well,
you
always
said
at the
that
back end, it's not so tiny, believe me.
You said the Knicks got out-rebounded by 14. I miss Hartenstein. You know, you said that, you know, Brunson needs some help, you know, the Robin, that's Randall. And then you said about the bench, they got outscored by 27 points.
Mm-hmm.
That's DiVincenzo, Bogdanovich, even Burks. I'm sorry, man, they dismantled it. I know that team last year would beat this team. They'd sweep them. I'm telling you.
No, I don't. They'd sweep this Knicks team? I don't know. And again, And how did Randall play in the playoffs, though? He disappeared as much as Karl Anthony Towns did.
Well, he's been hurt. Randall's been hurt.
You talked about Randall.
How's he playing this year?
We're going to find out in the playoffs.
Yeah, exactly. He probably beat us if we get there. Okay. I'd be
thrilled to get there.
Yeah, and Chris, you can't have it both ways. You're sitting here bashing or critiquing mm-hmm. Thibodeau.
Yes.
Okay, where were you, you know, after that game? How did he do out-coaching the guy across from him by 21 points in a row? How did that look? I mean, we can't have it then all of a sudden the next game, his job's on the line, you know, mm-hmm. not you, but it's like we can't do this under the microscope. Listen, these guys got to make shots. Mikal Bridges, go watch the game again. Last three possessions.
Yes.
Missed it off the key.
Yeah.
Tried to drive underneath, had no room at all.
Yeah.
Didn't even hit the rim with the ball.
The
layup underneath. And the third shot he missed. That's three shots in the last, 2 minutes, 3 minutes? I know Brunson missed the big one, but I mean, you gave up five picks for this guy. And the five picks do matter. I got these guys telling me, they don't matter. Yes, they do. If you're trying to get, I don't know, Durant or somebody,
That's how they matter. They're not going to affect the Knicks. They matter as far as value that you can.
And you're stuck with them.
I agree.
My point. I'm saying you can get on Thibodeau. You can get on all you want. And yes, I actually agreed with somebody that said Towns looked like he was playing from the first row. I agree, and I doubt Thibodeau had him out there the whole game. You know, I don't know. He just seemed like I didn't even see where he was.
Yeah, no, I agree.
I didn't see him hustling for rebounds. I saw Hart all over the place. Like, where is this guy?
I didn't notice the rebound stuff. I thought he rebounded, and defended the rim better in game one. Game one, he had some blocks. He had a couple steals. I saw him going after loose balls and being active with his hands defensively in this game. It's offensively. I had the issue more offensively than defensively. One, we know he's not a great defender. He's an offensive player. I agree. He was standing too far out on the perimeter. I totally agree. But it felt like watching the game that was the game plan. That he was playing that inside the game plan of the offense. The game plan of the offense was clear up the middle, let Jalen Brunson drive and react. Either get shots. Why am I going to bring another defender? I want the defenders to have to crash and leave guys open at the three, or Jalen Brunson gets a shot. Of course, if you make the shots, we're talking about a different game. I'm saying my issue with Tibbs is Karl Anthony Towns took three shots in the second half and zero in the fourth quarter. That can't be allowed to happen. Whether that's Karl Anthony Towns trying to, you know, slink out of the game like Homer Simpson going into a bush, like whether that's the case or not, you can't allow it to happen. You have to call a timeout and make sure that doesn't happen. That's my only concern. Like, the coach has to recognize that you need to get him more involved, and it has to happen. And it feels like it's tough to have that happen organically when Jalen Brunson is owning the basketball. Something has to be done. And game one, too, like, we didn't praise him for that 20-1 run. I said it yesterday. That was about the Pistons crapping all over themselves. I don't think Tibbs did anything in that. I did like the rotation. I like staying with Payne as long as he stayed with them. They played more bench guys. I thought the game one looked a lot better offensively than this game did last night. But I have a problem with Tibbs in this game. And you don't have to like it. I have a problem with the way he coached the game.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today. If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Talk New York sports here. The Fan.
All right, just a few minutes left. Nick Bonagle here with you until 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. So let's get as many calls as we can here to finish out the show. Main topic of the day has been the Knicks, obviously, as they drop game two and get ready for game three on Thursday night. A little bit of baseball as well. Lindor, two home runs, including a leadoff shot and then a three-run shot, as the Mets have now won five consecutive games. They took game one of the Philly series. The Mets played today, so the Mets got a great pitching performance as Tyler McGill comes through, strikes out 10 Phillies in 5 1/3, zero runs. Reed Garrett comes in, does his job. I mean, the pitching from the Mets is otherworldly right now. It is amazing what the Mets have done with their pitching staff. 888-808-1019. Mario in Long Beach. What's up, Mario?
What's going on, T-Mac? How you doing, buddy?
Good. How are you?
Yeah, good. I see this Knicks game a little bit differently.
Okay.
I see what's going on. To me, it looks like Detroit chokes a little bit at the end of the game.
Yeah, no doubt.
So if they can stay close, they're going to win. I'm not worried about this at all. You know, and another thing,
they're better than Detroit. It shouldn't just be let's keep it close because we know Detroit's going to implode. They should win these games a hell of a lot easier than that.
Yeah, they just didn't shoot good yesterday, you know, and they missed a couple of shots at the end. They really should have won that game, you know.
I disagree with you.
Well,
you thought the Knicks were the better team that should have won the game.
Yesterday? Absolutely.
Yeah,
I'm not saying they were the better team.
Okay.
They came back, and at the end of the game, they missed some shots that they could have very easily made. They very easily could have won that game. That's all I'm saying.
They could have easily won it. They didn't deserve to win it. The right team won the game. The team that deserved to win the game won the game. The Pistons are absolutely. You know, Mario, I appreciate you, and, you know, we're up against it. The music's about to hit. I don't know how in the world anyone could watch that game and tell me the Knicks were the better team. The Knicks deserved to win that game. Yeah, they went on a run in the fourth quarter and tied it up, but they could have won the game. It was tied with a minute and a half left. Of course, they could have won the game. I mean, you could even, I suppose, argue they should have down the stretch, but you're telling me you come away from that game saying the Knicks were the better team and should have won the game, and it's only because they missed a couple shots at the end? Like, I have a far greater problem with how they played the first two games than that. You could argue they should have lost both games. If it was just, hey, the better team wins the game, the Knicks would be down 0-2 right now. They went on a magical 21-0 run in game one and, you know, got back into the game in game two. But the Pistons have been the better team and a better change come game three. And Karl Anthony Towns, you know, he better be more involved and have a better game in game three. That's all I'm saying. And his coach has to make adjustments. But we'll talk to you tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Back after the Yankee game and after Keith. Enjoy the rest of your day. The warm-up show is next. Thank you for calling. I'm out of here. Bye-bye.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan. WFAN. New York.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.